Let's go to Acts chapter 2, and we begin at verse 42. Last time we stopped at verse 41. Let's read 41, 42, and 43. Acts 2, beginning at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All right, verse 41. What sort of reception did they have of the gospel, these people? What was their... There were glad reception. It was a joyous thing, wasn't it? What type of reception do you find sometimes when you give the gospel to people?
Rejection.
Many times rejection. Are there occasions when that's reception? Glad. Yes, John. All right, seems like it's getting worse and worse, the reception of the gospel. Good to have in the sky. Just come right in, and we're all set. In Acts 2:41. Now, what was the result of the reception of the gospel? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Thank you, Ricky. I forgot to push that button there. All right.
What was the result of the reception of the gospel in verse 42, or 41? They were baptized. Now, do we believe the Bible teaches unsaved people to be baptized? Is that what the Bible teaches? Unsaved people? No. It teaches saved people, right? Now, what is the method the Bible teaches? Sprinkling, pouring, or immersion? Immersion. What does immersion mean?
Sinking down.
Under the water and up. That's the scripture, isn't it? It's a picture of it. What does bapto and baptizo mean? That Greek word. Bapto. Like the word baptism. What does that mean?
Dip.
That means to dip, to emerge, to submerge. And that's the very... I mean, in fact, in the book of 1 Kings or 2 Kings, I forget which, chapter 5, where Naaman had leprosy, and Elijah told him what to do, or Elisha, I don't remember what Elijah, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. The Greek word for that in the Septuagint is bapto, baptism, dip. Very clear, so there's no question. Now, in the early church, they all dipped. They all had baptism by immersion in the early church. They had baptistries in the churches. Everybody knows it. As we said last week, when Rome came along, they said it's more convenient to pour or sprinkle, so they stopped. Who wants to get all wet? See, so they said, well, we can't get this rich person. They don't want to get wet. They don't want to change their clothes. All right, we'll sprinkle you. And that's how they changed it historically. What was the result after they were baptized? And added the church, and about 3,000 souls. Now, they were added at least to the Lord, weren't they? He added them to the Lord, see. Now, some teach that this was adding to the local church. It certainly is possible that that's also. But they certainly were added to the Lord Jesus Christ and part of his body, the ones that were saved, they were added. Is that a lot or a few or many or what in that verse 41? Do we have that much today? Yes, Dan.
I comment about this verse or question.
It seems like in verse 14, Peter standing up with the 11 and said unto them, and I suppose ye men of Judea, now, that and ye that dwell at Jerusalem. So apparently there were people there that were at least Judeans and from Jerusalem. Whether the others in the first 13 verses stayed or not, I'm not sure. But it's hardly possible that they preached to the whole multitude. And so there must have been a tremendous throng there to get the 3,000
percent. Verse 15, it says they weren't drunk. They aren't commenting about
yes. So this would be, that's right. So you see, they're still the ones that are there at the Feast of Pentecost.
My follow-up question is then, if this is a local church, how big is the local church? You get people in local church represented by speaking all these different languages.
Yes. Actually, this is people are saved. They're in the Bible believing, they're saved. They're in the body of Christ. They're saved people. Certainly not to a local church, because you know, they worked 3,000. They had to go back home. They went to their various countries and so on. So that's, I think, understanding here. So that's a lot of people. And then in verse 42, once they were saved, once they were added to Christ, the Lord Jesus, were baptized, what did they do in the churches? What was their, what are the two or three things that they did in their church?
Bread.
They broke bread. What does that mean? The breaking of bread is a bigger speech for what?
Communion,
the Lord's Supper. The breaking of the bread, just like the Lord broke the loaves and blessed them. This is my body, this is my blood. See, breaking bread. What else did they do in verse 42?
Fellowship.
And fellowship. What is fellowship?
Communion with each other.
Talk to each other. Do we have fellowship at Wendy's?
Yes.
We talk about things. Now, a lot of things we can't talk about in the service or even our Bible study, but at Wendy's we can talk about this and that and the other thing. And so fellowship is important. How does a church get fellowship?
Spending time together.
Spending time together, so? Yes, Tammy? Yes, that's true. That's true. Has to be around the Word of God. Of course, that's why believers can have fellowship around the Word of God. But I think also fellowship, koinonia, is what means things in common. See, now, that includes the Scriptures. Obviously, if you're saved, you can't have fellowship with unbelievers. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And don't have fellowship with light and darkness. No. But for believers, they can have fellowship on the things of the Lord. But if they're saved, can they also have fellowship on things that concern them, as to problems and so on? That's another phase of fellowship. So it should be common that they're all saved. That's right, Tammy. There'd be in the doctrine of things. So breaking of bread, that's a communion, the Lord's Supper. What's the step fellowship? What's the third thing in verse 42?
Prayer.
Now, when does the church, our church, meet for prayer? Thursday nights, we meet for prayer at prayer service. And we'd like to have everyone come. Many can come. Yes, Anna? Okay, if you have a relative unsaved, you're supposed to stay away from them. Can you talk to them? You don't have close fellowship, you know, but you do talk to them and so on, but not a real intimate close fellowship with the unsaved people that are fancy. So relatives, sometimes we do have relatives, and we do talk with them. Sometimes we have our bankers are unsaved. Sometimes our firemen are unsaved. Our policemen are unsaved. Our grocers are unsaved. Our people that do our work. But the close fellowship, man, that's what I mean, real close, like really... pally with them and take, really be with them all the time and think like they think and go with them, and that's the thing, a real close fellowship. Because there's no commonality if they're ones that they're lost. Alright? No communion. So what is it, the three things you said, breaking bread, Lord's Supper, said the fellowship and prayers. Anything else in verse 42 that these people did? What kind of doctrine? The apostle doctrine. What does doctrine mean?
Words.
Well, words of best. What is the word? Another word for doctrine?
Teaching.
Okay. People that have a doctor's degree are supposed to have the doctor of this. That's supposed to be able to teach that. Huh? Doctrine is teaching, isn't it? Now, what is apostles' doctrine? What does that mean? You have a Bible there, Peter. What is apostles' doctrine?
One of the apostles'
what? What is it?
A text.
Textbook, what? Yeah, what the apostles taught, Jill and Tammy. What the apostles taught. Now, how many writers of the Bible were apostles? New Testament. Name me some.
Matthew,
Mark, Luke,
Paul,
John,
Paul,
Peter,
Jude,
James. So, just about all of them. Ricky is the dropping man, that's fine. We're glad he's home. We know when things drop, we know Ricky's in command. Okay. all these things, they're apostles, aren't they? So it's a scripture. Yeah, Dan? We're not certain that he's one of the 12. There was one that was called Jude. It's not Judas Iscariot. There are two Jews.
We know there was a Jew. Another Jew that was an apostle.
We're not sure.
The one that wrote the Jews perceives Revelation?
We're not certain of that, but we do know that these people were close to the apostles. Sometimes the word apostle is used other than the 12 apostles, you know, being once sent forth like missionaries and so on. So the apostles' doctrine would be the doctrine, I think, of the New Testament scriptures. Yeah, Bob? Well, there's all kinds of Jameses in the Bible. There's James the brother of John, and we're not sure just which this James is. But let me just simply say this. There are people in the New Testament that are called apostles. If you look up the word apostle, not only necessarily the 12, we normally think of the apostles, the 12 apostles. Those that are sent forth and those that are servants and missionaries and so on are called apostles. But we'll have to look these things up. But the apostles' doctrine is taught in the Bible, New Testament books, am I right? Even though maybe these men weren't apostles. Suppose Jude wasn't an apostle, suppose one of the 12. Suppose James wasn't one of the 12. Is their doctrine in line with the apostles' doctrine? Is their book in line with what the others? There's all in line. There's a cohesiveness. And so the apostles' doctrine. Now,
Matthew 10:2-3.
Okay, read off those very slowly, if you would, Will.
Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon.
So that's Peter. He wrote two books, all right?
And Andrew, his brother.
He wrote nothing.
James, the son of Zebedee.
He might have written a book. We're not sure which that's the same James.
And John, his brother.
John wrote three books, four books.
Philip.
Five books, I'm sorry. Five books. Philip didn't write anything.
Bartholomew.
Didn't write anything.
Thomas and Matthew.
Matthew did, but not Thomas.
Matthew the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus.
So there's two Jameses, huh? So maybe one of the two wrote James, all right?
James, one of the first James.
James, the son of Alphaeus, okay.
And Linnaeus.
Linnaeus, not sure who he was.
Linnaeus.
Didn't write a book.
His name was Thaddeus.
Didn't write a book.
Simon the Canaanite.
Didn't write a book.
And Judas Iscariot.
Certainly didn't write a book. Many books written about him. Yes, Dan.
Was Matthew also known as Bartholomew?
I'm not sure. There's another one known as Bartholomew. There were two that are mixed in there. Matthew the publican, I think he's usually identified. Thaddeus sometimes is called Bartholomew, I think. There's mix up on top of it, Bonnie? Okay, read them off slowly. Simon wrote two books, Peter. Might have written one, we're not sure if it's the same James. John wrote five books. Boanerges. Sons of Sons of Thunder. They talk loud, like Ricky. Right, Rick? Okay, go ahead. Matthew did. James did. Okay, so while it is true, perhaps, that not all these that wrote in the New Testament were apostles of the 12, they certainly were in line with the apostles' doctrine. And that's what we're talking about here. So it's important that we have the apostles' doctrine and not some new doctrine. So the Word of God is very important, isn't it?
Is Simon the Canaanite the famous Simon the Zealot?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't really know. There's some confusion in there, and I'm not really sure of that.
Jesus' half-brother?
Yeah, James was Jesus' half-brother. That's one of the Jameses. There are about four Jameses, see? It's all confusing as to which James it is. You have to kind of study it. After you study it out, you still don't know. Still raise your head. Yes.
That was for the Apostles' Creed.
The Apostles' Creed, yes.
Yes.
So the Apostles' Creed was written, as said about all the time by the Catholics, by the Methodists. They said the Apostles' Creed, different ones, and Lutherans and Presbyterians, yeah, different ones.
Lutherans changed from what I believe in the Christian Church to what I believe in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, Catholic Church and so on. Yes,
Anna? What's wrong with the Apostles' Creed?
Well, I don't know if there's anything particularly wrong. It's just a creed. The thing about it is, if you say I believe, and you say it, and if you think you're a Christian because you say I believe it, you're lost. I said it as an unsaved young boy. My mom made me go to Methodist school and church, and They said, that doesn't make me a Christian. It could be confusing to people. Nothing wrong with the doctrines. I prefer the Nicene Creed. It's more complete. You know what I mean? The Athanasian Creed is a beautiful creed. More complete also. But nothing really big and doctrinally wrong. It's just a general statement of belief. So the apostles' doctrine and the things that the apostles taught and preached. In verse 43, what was the result of these four things the early church did, John?
You have book by
Schaff,
the Creeds of Christendom.
By Schaff? Yeah. The Creeds of Christendom. I don't believe I do. I have Schaff's history, church history, but I don't have the Creeds of Christendom by Schaff. Yes, John?
The name 100,
but I thought
it was the same as Nathaniel.
The following same as Nathaniel, maybe?
Matthew, Levi.
Jews would be Thaddeus, so maybe Jews in there. Okay. Good. Well, thank you for that. What was the result there of all these four things in the early church? Yeah?
Well,
Anna? Read the books, it may say something inside the book written by Judas. Well, I don't know what it says. We wrote it in any of the books. We just assume that these are the writers, and that's why we have the titles of. But the result of verse 43, what was the result of these four things that the early church had? Communion service, breaking of bread, the prayers, the fellowship, and the apostles' doctrine, the teaching. What was the result?
Did these things
Alright, so rapidly the body and fear came out of every soul. They were amazed at this whole thing. Now, by the way, do all churches love doctrine?
No.
No. Do all people love doctrine?
No.
Should they love doctrine, Bible doctrines? Yes, they should. See, a lot of churches say, oh, we don't want to get mixed up with this doctrine. That's the general trend, even among Bible-believing churches. They say, oh, this fellow, all he does is talk about doctrine, teaching, doctrine, this and doctrine, that. Let's just talk about, just worldly things and your problems and just chit-chat and stuff, and very light stuff. The Bible teaches us, like we say every single Sunday, 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, preach the word. The instance is, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's part of our preaching. Bonnie?
The secret churches, the ones that want
to Yes, the secret churches.
They don't want doctrine, they just want
feel good, yes, the secret churches, such as apparently Bethel Baptist Church right here at Cherry Hill, is a secret church now. The pastor from the pulpit, I'm told, said one time, you people that don't like what we're doing, leave and never come back. And about 100 people left and never came back, maybe 150 people, see. So that's what he wants, just a nice, lukewarm church. Will first and then Laura.
I was just going to say that
well, that's all right. Laura, then you'll think of it. You and Anna, you get to it. Go ahead, Laura.
What exactly do you mean by secret church?
Well, it's a kind of a church that wants everybody to come in without too much doctrine, just a general thing. Don't offend anybody. Don't say too much because I'll offend this one or this one. Just sort of a, that's what they call them, secret churches. Well, you're right.
Doctrine is tough because it's restrictive and people don't like restrictive.
Yes, it is. It's restrictive. So secret churches, Laura, that's in general. I know what they want. I don't know how they get the word seeker out of it. What they're after...
Is it secret or
seeker? A seeker.
Seeker.
S-E-E-K-E-R. Those are... S-E-E-K-E-R. Seeker. Seeker church. All I know is what they want to do now. This man, Rick Warren, the same as John Warren. I remember his name from Rick Warren. Rick Warren wrote this book. He's the head of the secret church out in where? California, where is it? And he wrote the book. And Hybels is one, Jack Hybels? What's his first name? Hybels. Bill Hybels? Bill Hybels, isn't it? Bill Hybels and Rick Warren are the two people that are for this Rick secret church. They write books, and one of the things that was quoted, I think it's accurate, I didn't read it, but I understand it was quoted correctly, in the secret church by Rick Warren. He said, the first thing you have to do to get a secret church is to get rid of the pillars of the church. All pillars do anyhow is hold up things. And get rid of the pillars. That's what they did at Bethel Baptist. They got rid of the old timers. The ones that
found it. Contrary to scripture.
It's certainly contrary. That's right. See?
There
isn't.
It's not the foundation.
No, without the foundation. So get rid of the pillars, because they hold up things. And then when you get rid of all the old timers, then get the shaft to come in. Yes, sir, then.
My understanding from reading about that is one of the reasons they chose the name Seeker was as if we are all seeking the truth. Uh-huh. And this hidden sub-message is no one has the truth. There is no absolute truth. There is no absolute truth of God. We're all seekers, and one person's idea may be as valid as the next. And of course, that's why you have to kick out the old timers.
Yeah.
Because they believe the Bible is true. Yes. They got to go.
Yes, John?
Oh, yeah. The, we've got 100 members of the Bethel Baptist who line up more traditional music program. Found a church at the middle school in Borges, New Jersey, and Lady Control Hillman are there. It's by that Main Street mall in Borges.
Some of them went there, that's true.
Yeah, and they...
It's called, what is the name of it? Trinity Baptist Church, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Some of them went there.
Paul up from Philadelphia College Bible, mm-hmm. He's the pastor of it.
Yes, I think interim pastor, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, some of them went to that and began a new church. Some from Hennonites were kicked out because they were pillars. Some from Bethel Baptist kicked out because they were pillars. I mean, asked to leave. Others went to another church up somewhere else, Heritage Baptist, and so Mount Laurel. So be that as it may, the secret churches want to get rid of the old timers that follow the bylaws of a church, but rules and regulations. They throw them all out. They get amend all these bylaws and change it so that just a small power elite can run things, and the people have nothing to say about it. See, that's what they want. Pastor's council, just like John MacArthur's church out there, the elders, they run everything. The people do nothing except, at the end, they when the pastor leaves, they vote on a new pastor, and that's it. Yeah, John?
Why isn't that pastor then?
Well, so see, the secret churches, so rather than have the pastor the whip in the corner, the pastor's the big cheese, he's the one that does the whole thing. And throw out all the people that oppose it,
that's about the elders.
Elder rule. Yeah, that's what John MacArthur did. The elders rule, and so they just take care of everything. So there's no
pastor, you said the elders ruling?
No, but he's one of the elders, he's the lead elder. The pastor's the lead elder, he's the teaching elder. Yeah. John?
Guys from Philadelphia University has grown or has strong on classical separation. This used to be, but from what I hear, they're still strong on music.
They're not as strong on separation, but they're strong on music. Well, but I don't know the future of that church. I just don't know. But some people, so secret churches, they want to put down everything to a small, not too much doctrine, just general things to talk about. I don't know what they talk about. I wouldn't know what to say if I were in those churches preaching. I like to preach the Bible. It's doctrine. It's what we have to do. So, there was fear. Now, what about these miracles and signs? What does that involve in verse 43? What did that involve? If I have comment.
They wouldn't
preach
morning sermon.
Pardon me?
They wouldn't teach.
Oh, nobody in those secret churches would preach that morning sermon. They wouldn't do it. From 1 Timothy chapter 2, 8 to 15. No, that was a hot topic and difference of opinion. Right? You'd have more women walking out of that church and you'd shake a stick at. Probably the men that couldn't pray either. They may be, I don't know. No, see, this is something you just don't say. Anything that people would differ with, don't say anything. See, that's not what the secret churches do. So, what kind of miracles were these? What is science and what is wonders? Who did these miracles?
Science.
The apostles. Do some churches believe that miracles are still being done today, same time? Do the apostolic miracles still continue, or did they cease when the apostles died and the scriptures were complete? We believe they ceased, but others differ with us. They say they're still with us. What do we say the source of their miracles are if a biblical miracle ceased with the apostles and the scriptures? What do we say the source of their miracles are? Maybe they're satanic. Now, do they like us when we say that?
No.
They don't like us at all. What do we say about the miracles? They say it's a miracle of speaking in tongues. What do they say when we say that we don't believe those are of God? What is their reaction, these charismatic friends?
They believe that we have put God in a box, put Jesus in a box, and they're not asking his authority in present times.
Present times? Yes, Dan?
Well, the same token, I've had charismatic people tell me that if you are not speaking in tongues, then you would institute on saying, although the Bible very clearly says that this is a gift given to some and not to all, so they contradict the Bible and use it to say that only those who speak in tongues are really holy people. So,
so I say tongues, what in the Bible, this chapter 2 that we're in right now, what, who is the source of those different foreign languages? Who's the author of those? God, and God the Holy Spirit. There was a, did these apostles speak these languages having studied them? They hadn't studied them. There was a special miracle by God. Now remember, tongues is language. That's glossa, it means tongue, but just the speaking is called a word for language. Now, we think that God was the author there. One of the two possibilities that the present tongues are the source. So three possibilities. One, two, and three. What are they? Satan. Well, gibberish would be the type of Satan they're doing, but what would be the source of that gibberish?
Yourself.
Yourself or the self, all right, the flesh. The third? God. So is it God, yourself, or Satan? Yeah, Dan?
The prophets, when they have a knowledge, with knowledge of four languages?
Oh, yes.
And they were studied?
Oh, sure, I speak it. I speak Spanish, I witness to Spanish people what I can, and whatever comes up. And so that's not, it's a language, but it's not a foreign language. I mean, it is foreign language, but it's not given by God. We studied it. Yes, Albert?
That was my experience in the commentary. They called it foreign tongues, but they couldn't pinpoint on anything. It was foreign, like, so it was
different. Yeah.
It's not a language. I'm not speaking Portuguese in this congregation. Nobody knows it.
Right.
I'm speaking gibberish. There's another gibberish person trying to identify.
Right.
Yes. You know what, though? I was in there, and I heard Albert speak up when he did speak in tongues. He didn't do it anymore.
Uh-huh.
I heard him speak in time, no words at all.
Oh, well, forget him. First of all, took 2 years there, and then went to college, and took a year and a half in college, and then began speaking the Latin Americans, and teaching the scriptures in Spanish, so that's how I learned that one. Now, yes, Fonda?
Well,
our roommate in college was from Chile, Francisco Bosch, that was his name. And so, Bosch, B-O-S-C-H, Bosch. You know, in pronunciation like Spanish, Bosch, we say, but Bosch, B-O-S-C-H. And Francisco was from Chile, and he and I were roommates. I was in a special house. It was directly in an American house. I was the English-speaking person. All the rest of them were foreigners. But in our room, we all spoke Spanish. You know, he and I and so on. I had to speak English in the room. That's right. I had to speak, teach them English. When we got to dinner, though, and lunch, all Spanish. So that's how I learned a lot of Spanish, too, speaking to Chileanos and all the different. And you're from Costa Rica. That's right. And you are from where? Also from Korea. Okay, that's good. So, Vaughn?
That's why when you talk to people in Spanish, before you got corrected, they said you had a Chilean accent.
Yes, a Castilian accent. Oh, Chilean, Chilean accent. Yeah, I guess so. Yes, John?
That's Andre's little brother, right?
No, that's a friend. Andre's friend, right? But they're both Andre. Andre, little Andre and big Andre. Yeah, they're both friends.
Which one's the big one?
Which one's better? That's hard to tell. That's hard to tell. All right. So now the languages are important, but we've got to be careful of those. Now these miracles were apostolic miracles in our lifetime. Let's read verse 44.
But there are still miracles.
There's still miracles that happen. God performs miracles. Not by people. That's true. That's right. I got you. Now, could even the apostles always perform miracles?
If God permitted, God told them. Jesus instructed them.
All right, but the apostles always perform miracles.
Oh,
no. Even in their time, even when apostolic miracles were proper. Can you give me an example where apostles could not perform miracles?
Lighting out the light.
Well, they give life, but what else?
Remember, people require prayer.
That's right. Remember, the apostles couldn't drive out an evil spirit. This time goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And the Lord drove out that evil spirit. So, but the apostles couldn't do it. What about the apostle Paul? Could he always perform the miracles? What about his own thorn in the flesh? Could he cast that out?
No.
No, he couldn't. How many times did he ask the Lord to take away the thorn in the flesh?
Three
times. What did the Lord tell him?
My grace is sufficient
for thee. More gladly therefore I glory in my infirmities. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. And that's exactly what we've got to understand. So, apostles' miracles, not today, but they were then. Let's read 44 to 47 and finish up the chapter. Please, starting with 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. All right, in verse 43, before their spirit came by, verse 44, what was true of those believers?
Work together,
things in common. Now that word common means fellowship. It's quite an idea, it's a common type of thing. And that's good to have things in common. And what did they do in verse 45 as far as their possessions?
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them, sold them, and gave to everyone as they had need. Now, notice, some have said that they practiced Christian communism. Can you give us a distinction between what they did and what communist does? Yeah, Dan?
Communists compel it.
Compelling. There's no voluntarism.
Right.
And actually, also, it's compelling. It's by the state, and it's certainly unbelieving. What do families do? Do families practice Christian communism? Families?
Yes.
What do they call us? I mean, if you want to call it communism, it's all we share in our families, am I right? Mother works, father works, whoever works, and then we get the money, we have the food, and we share, and things in common. We share. That's Dan and then Laura.
Political communism also has a privileged elite.
Privileged elite, a power elite, that's right. And they use force, they use violence, they use killing, they use murdering, torture, and it's a horrible thing. Yeah, Laura?
These are the verses that were used as a basis for the purpose of our living in commune when I was a teenager.
Oh,
in my
life. In that culture.
Yes.
These are the verses, yeah, living in commune. Now, were the Christians in the early church here in the majority or minority?
Minority.
So they had things, they had to sort of go like a family, am I right? In other words, suppose things were really tough all around us. Suppose people that are right here in this room who are saved, those that are saved, those that have... What if one of us had need, and so on? Could we help one another without being communists? See what I mean? No one's forcing us.
Right.
If I know that the son has a need, or Mario, or Laura, or Albert, or Andre, we can... Now that's the idea that what was with these Christians. They were unified in their doctrine. They believed the Lord Jesus as Savior. They were redeemed by faith in Him. And they could share like a family share. Now, what do you do in your family when there's a need? I realize you can't meet every need of all the children. What if the children say, I want a new car, I want a new bicycle? You know, so we can't meet every need, but you can meet some needs, all right?
Yeah.
What do you want now, Nisa? Do you have something that you would like to have? No? You're all set? You're satisfied? That's good. Matt, what do you have? Do you have a need or something? What do you like? What do you think?
A dog.
See, they're different people. And you can't always get what people need, dogs or whatever, not the cost, but sometimes where are you going to put the dogs? I know when I had a dog, his name was Jimmy, I told you all about it, G-Y-P, it was a Jimmy because it paid 50 cents. 50 cents was what that dog cost. And I built a dog house for him. I told you about this, I'm repeating myself, but my mom kidded me. She said, son, that's not big enough. There's no room for his tail. See, his dog, his tail was sticking out. Anyhow, we know about dog's tail. But be that as it may, we can't always give everything the children want, but we can do what we can to help in common the need, the real, genuine need. So that's not communism. And then in verse 46, what do they do daily?
Break bread.
Okay, and break bread. And what else do they do?
Eat.
Right, the house to house. Now, also, where did they meet? What kind of a car were they in?
Honda.
That's
Honda.
Is that the brand name of the... Is that one of the species of the Ford? Is it Honda or Ford?
Okay, I don't know.
They're one court. They all have one court, so they got in together. Now, they can either go in the... Which one two places did they have this, these fellowship meetings? Or, the temple, and also what? And the home, house to house. Now, let me ask you this. They had a temple. What kind of temple was that? Christian or Jewish?
Jewish.
It was a Jewish temple, Matt. Yeah. It's a Jewish temple, that's right. And so, but the house to house, now wait a minute. Is it scriptural to have meetings in a house?
We do.
Did the apostles do that? They went from house to house. Let me ask you this. They didn't stick with one house. There's another house, another house, another. Now, how big were their houses?
Big enough to hold their meeting.
They have to hold a meeting. Not too big. Now, let me ask you this. Was it wrong for them to have small meetings in small houses, or was it all right?
It was
all right. No problem. See? Anna? Philemon 1:2 says the church in thy house. That's right. By the way, this day begins our fifth year as a Bible for Day Baptist Church.
Amen.
Fifth year. 4 years behind us, fifth year ahead of us. Let's pray the Lord to really use our church. So it was not a scandalous thing. Do you know what one of the pastors in this area, Bethel Baptist, was quoted as saying? Didn't hear it, but I was quoted. Could be wrong.
Hearsay.
That's all it is. Hearsay. That's right, lawyer. What I understand to say was all the little churches should be burned to the ground. That's what he said. This Bethel Baptist pastor wasn't reported to have said that. All the little churches should be burned to the ground.
The seeker guy?
The seeker guy, yeah. So that means us. They almost tried it. They didn't succeed in burning us. Yeah. Maybe he's the one that's okay to burn us. I don't know.
I'm sure he'll
fire
us.
I'm sure
he'll
fire us.
I don't think he actually
needs
to burn
us. Well, I don't want to.
He should have said it.
We will check with the source and see what he meant. I don't know what he meant, but anyway, suppose we take all the hostile words out of that, all the inflammatory terms, like I just said, and just say this. The pastor apparently did not like little churches. See? The seekers are not supposed to like little churches. Bigness is it, see? Bigness is all of it. In fact, you can't be big, you ought to be nothing. You ought to be shot. You know, in other words, you shouldn't even have a church. Not literally shot, but you ought to. Yeah. And?
Why are they going to close your own doors, Bill? It's going to be very big for wealth and sense.
Oh, that's
I'm
true.
I'm more than 1,000 people. No more than, I'm just under 1,000.
That's true. In fact, someone told me that the church there is not even full as it is. And that they want a bigger church and a bigger monster thing. I don't know. I haven't been there. I was a member there for, 19 years, I think? I don't know how many. How many years? How many was it, Bethel? 9 or 10 years, and so I lost track from there. But anyway, be that as it may, secret churches are secret churches. But I'm saying, the house to house, was that a humble type of a situation, or was that a big, grandiose, puff, 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 high, polluting situation? What kind of a situation? It was a humble situation, wasn't it? Do a lot of people not like to meet in houses today?
Yes.
There's some people don't like to meet. They've got something against the house. In fact, when we were to begin our church, someone told to us, people will never come to a house. We've got to rent a place. And I just said, well, we'll just go ahead. If my wife and I are the only ones who come, that's fine. We'll just meet together. Why did we start this church 5 years ago? The reason we started the church was we listened to sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. And it was at a Father's Day meeting. And we listened to Father's Day sermon, we came back, and Dan was here, and Tanya was here, and Mom and I were down over here. We said, I feel led of the Lord to begin a church. I mean, the thing, the same old sermon, the same old things, Father's Day, the same illustrations, the whole thing. And it was just a mess. We were not satisfied with that, which God called me to preach, and I left the preaching for 35 years, or whatever it was, from 1965, and I'm ready to go again, see. And so anyhow, house churches are not always popular, and we may have to go to house churches if the government comes and burns down all the big buildings and pictures, who knows. Yes, Jim?
Were the two gentlemen that I was talking to you that wanted to go to the church too, and then one of them comes for a while and they didn't come?
Yes, in fact, that's one reason why we thought we'd begin, because they couldn't find a church that preached in the King James Bible, expository preaching, good music. These are some of the things they couldn't find. And so we said, all right, we'll go ahead and begin. And lo and behold, the very ones we began with, they vanished in a hurry. They were absolutely gone quickly. We never saw them for many, many weeks. But others came. Laura's one of the first ones. She stuck right with us. And Ricky was there with us. He stuck with us, especially Joe. And Nisa, especially, she was right with us from the beginning, even though she's a little baby. Devon? Oh, I'm sorry. John.
Do you feel that the situation in Hill Tree will get so bad that churches will actually be burned? Or?
I just don't know. I know that when the communists took over in China, they took over in Russia, and some of the places around the countryside, they did burn churches. If they didn't burn them, they converted them to government buildings and hospitals and so on and so forth. They may not be burned, but in fact, sometimes house churches are banned. Remember some of the states, we heard that a couple of weeks ago, a month ago or so, that in some locale, I don't remember the state, California maybe, you can't meet in a house for a church. So it's against the rules. So anyhow, so we're glad that we can meet from house times. Yes. Listen, by the way, when can I come to your house next? I'm going to meet there in your house.
Yeah.
Great.
You don't want to come to mine.
Listen, you want to invite us? You let us know plenty of time. I don't know, but we have plenty of time. We'll come and we'll have a Bible study and
Sweden was the problem.
What?
Sweden was the problem.
Oh, we don't want to swim. No, no swimming. We had a sermon on that this morning. Yes, Jill. Will. Will.
I was going to say that maybe we should realize from these verses how serious fellowship is. It's much more than church mixing and having banquets in the afternoon.
Exactly.
From these verses we can see what you have to give up in order to have fellowship.
Yes.
And what fellowship is all about.
Right.
One of the things that doesn't include is gossip, and even a picnic at Wendy's, some of the things that are said shouldn't be said.
Some of the things perhaps shouldn't be said, but we talk and we visit and we chat and we carry and visit one with another. Perhaps that's right, and we'll accept your rebuke there. Well, if some of the things are not properly.
That's not rebuke. What I'm saying is I don't think a lot of people realize what fellowship is all about. They think it's fun and games.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's the thing that some of the young people, when Joshua was trying to help there at the other church, there at Pastor Smith's church, the parents didn't want Bible. Joshua wanted to teach the Bible, the young people, real strong. They want to have fun and games at the young people's meeting. That was all they thought. They limited them maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, the rest of them just play around, see. So this is, you're right, some people have that idea of fellowship. And sometimes they have church socials and church suppers, and that's what their term of fellowship, instead of talking about the things of the Lord and discussing things that have the Lord as a part of it. All right, so they go from house to house and eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They ate and they had fellowship in the churches and the houses. And then in verse 47, what sort of attitude do they have toward the Lord? Well, they weren't sullen, they weren't against God, but they praised Him. And did the people like Him or dislike Him? They liked Him. They had favor with all the people. Now, do all the people like you?
No.
No, all the people like this church?
No.
Well, but we have to try to live for the Lord and see what happens and go from there.
That's why in praising God, there is no such thing as a sad Christian. We all have problems, but if you're going around with a sour voice all the time, people are looking at you and saying, well, what's in it for me? Why should I do that?
That's right. Sour puss attitudes will not beget more Christians, right? Someone told me the other day, that though this person was a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties, there was a determination that in the heart would be a song, in my heart, that rings a melody. See, that's a good song. And that should be, no matter what, a melody in the heart. I remember at the University of Michigan as a young student, as a young kid, 17 years of age, freshman, just saved, about a year, maybe not even a year. I used to walk down the street singing, you know, different songs. Regardless of what I found in school, all the people rejecting the gospel, I didn't care. I was happy as a Christian. I still am happy. I mean, I haven't lost any happiness. I've got a lot more joy now. But anyway, be that as it may. See about the homeless, yeah. I'm not going to have a homosexual door here, and homosexual, yeah, I'm here. Well, I'll take my wife with me. She can bring her column along with her. All right. Praising God, having favor of all the people. And then, what did the Lord do when the gospel was preached in the fellowship and the breaking of bread? What did the Lord do in that last verse? Added to the church. Which kind of people should be in a local church? Part of this.
Believers.
Saved. Those who should be saved. Those who should be saved. Now, is there any room in a church, really, except for those that are listening to the gospel? I mean, in a close fellowship with church for unsaved people. What is the place in a local church for unsaved people? In the building I'm talking about.
Right there with them.
Right there, listening, preaching. They can listen to the preacher and hope they'll be saved. But as far as churches that have membership, should they be unsaved people in that membership?
No.
What did the Lord say? Added to the church, names, that should be saved. Now, we don't have to worry about that because we don't have membership as such. Maybe we had two, I believe, maybe four before, and now we've lost those, and now maybe we get two more. But as such, we don't have any members, so we don't have to worry about that. We just hear, we meet, and we hold with our feet, as we said, walk in, you're with us, walk out, you're out. And when people walk in, we're happy. When people walk out, we're happy. We don't worry. They choose what they want. Our church is not for everyone, am I right? Well, let's face it, it's not for everyone, and so we don't find everyone here. So, all right, we go on then. Yes, Anna. Everybody are going to be very, very crowded. And sometimes we have to have some leave so there'll be more room for others to come in. That's why for the visitors, pray for those two that came in, father and son. I ask him, is his wife with him? No. So either there's a separation, divorce, whatever, death, but pray for them. They just moved into the area in Audubon. Adams, the name is Adams. I think this is Michael and Daniel. Daniel's the son of Steve. Stephen is the father. So pray for them. They were possibly coming this afternoon. We'll contact them. All right. Such as should be saved. Let's go on with chapter 5. Yeah, Lonnie?
In verse 47, it says, add to the church daily. And then in 41, it's added to 3,000 souls. Is
this
different thing
they're
added to? Or
well, I think just added. They kept adding an additional 3,000, I think, more. You know, it's interesting, speaking about saved people, unsaved people in the local church. I came out of the chaplaincy 5 years, went to the first church, Emmanuel Baptist Church, Newton Massachusetts, were there about 10 months, and then they wanted me to leave. But anyway, the first sermon I preached, did I ever get a response negative? The first sermon I preached in that church, I didn't know anybody. I just preached the Bible. I said, now, the local church here is for Bible-believing Christians, saved people. And if you're not saved, you don't belong in a membership with this church. Boy, oh boy, I didn't realize there was a huge pile of those people in New England, Massachusetts, that were lost. And boy, were they angry. Because I just said, well, this is the end of the church. That's what you said. Charles.
And first we brought it when I was here. I kept the feeling here. They didn't sell everything at one time. Sometimes.
No, I think they're good. Yeah.
It says they sold as Eric Mann had it.
Yes, as they had it. Right.
And then it says in 46, and I see that point, with gladness and sinfulness apart. To me, it tells me that, you know, no matter how rich or poor something was, they didn't let that affect. Remember, somebody
yes.
had more and sold, is it, well, where they want to help us?
Yes.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, all done with,
free will. There's gladness, there's free will, there's absolute free will, there's not a communistic push and force, it was all done as the Lord would lead them. That's absolutely
right.
Yes, fine.
So when it says added to the church daily, that wasn't just like on the Lord's day.
No, every day.
Do you think this is the body of Christ church
That could be the Church of Jerusalem. It's certainly related to the body of Christ, the believers that were saved. Some people don't believe there's such thing as the universal church, but they certainly added to the ones that were saved in that sense.
If not, any time, any day.
Pardon me? Any day? Yeah, saved people. Tuesday, that's right. Wouldn't have to be any particular.
And the Tuesday is future perfect. That means that when they first come, it doesn't, they didn't have to be saved. And
they knew the news,
and then they would be saved.
That's right.
And then they would be added to the church.
The churches should be saved. Now the hyper-Calvinists take this verse, among other verses,
the elect.
It should be those that once they got elected are going to be saved. People that believe in Christ, they can't be saved. We believe that they, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely, they can't believe. All right, let's go on to chapter 5 and read chapter 5 verses 1, 2, and 3.
Chapter 3.
Well, I'm all right, but I look away at a few people and I look down here. Well, since it's a battle of the eyes, we're going to stop at this verse. We'll start at chapter 3, not 5, next week, Lord willing. Dan's going to take care of it. I'm going to be over there speaking to the Chinese people. They asked me to speak on the King James.